Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break.
But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple.
We all know about Snapple's iconic real facts, so let's take a minute to go over some of our faves.
Snapple Real Fact 705, every ton of recycled paper saves about 17 trees.
Snapple Real Fact 253, the first TV remote control introduced in 1950 was called Lazy Bones.
Snapple Real Fact 2033, Americans consume 150 million hot dogs on July 4th.
Snapple Real Fact 855, Oregon has more ghost towns than any other U.S. state.
So, grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day.
Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show.
I have something really exciting to share with everyone. I want to shout out the Topo Athletic Revive slippers.
Oh, yes.
Let me just talk about it for a second. First of all, the bottom is like a real sole. It's like the bottom is like a sneaker, but it's a slipper. And then the top is like this cozy fleece. I got these for my daughter, and now I want them for myself. She's worn them every day, and it says they feel like a massage with every step, and I can agree.
I love Topo. I ordered their TerraVenture sneakers.
Oh, you did?
In blue and peach.
Topo Athletic, though, you guys, not only obviously are they functional, but they're so comfortable. Topo has a shoe to fit all of your needs. In my house, we have outdoor enthusiasts, we have hikers, we have fitness buffs, and Topo has got us covered.
Head to topoathletic.com to buy online or use the store locator to find an authorized retailer near you. Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the ultimate Office Lovers podcast just for you.
Each week, we will dive deeper into the world of The Office with exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes details, and lots of BFF stories.
We're the Office Ladies 6.0. Hello.
Hi.
So, lady, you know that the day that this podcast airs.
Yeah.
We are going to be walking the Nimrod's red carpet.
Oh my gosh,
that's
right.
It's the day of the premiere.
Today?
Today.
When everyone hears this, that's what we'll be doing.
That evening.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Followed by a big old party.
Wah!
It's going to be fun.
I haven't done one of those in a long time.
Me either. And I'm actually kind of excited.
Oh my gosh. I never remember how to stand or where to put my hand. I have to practice.
Let's practice.
Okay.
We'll do what we do because you have to do this. Mm-hmm. You have to put on your outfit.
Yeah.
And you have to have someone take pictures of you.
Right.
In different poses. And then what I do is I pick the one very good one. And that's the only way I'll stand. It doesn't matter if they yell at me. It doesn't matter if they say, over the shoulder. I only know that this one way to stand. That's it.
I literally, the minute I get on a red carpet, completely forget all the things I practiced.
I
and then I stand
that.
Like an idiot.
I know. Same.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a learning curve. Who knows? But before we're at the Nimrod's premiere on the red carpet, we have a really special episode for you guys to listen to today. In the studio with us is hilarious comedian and actor Bobby Lee. So fun.
Yes.
And Jenna, you did a television show with Bobby.
I did. Yes. We did two seasons of the ABC show Splitting Up Together.
And we talk a little bit about that today.
We do. We hash a few things out from that time.
Yeah, you did. But you guys, today, as we're getting ready to walk that premiere red carpet for Nimrod's, we are going to be talking all about it because you guys get to see it out in theaters this Friday, August 14th.
Yeah, you guys, I am so, so excited about this movie. Okay, here's what it's about. This movie stars Mason Thames as Tommy, and he gets a phone call inviting his teen punk band to open for Green Day on New Year's Eve.
Amazing.
Amazing. Unfortunately, he does not realize that this is actually an elaborate prank.
Mm-hmm.
So, believing that his life is about to change, he sets out on a road trip with his bandmates, who are played by Kyler Kaufman and Ryan Faust. And y'all, this movie is produced with Green Day. And Green Day was part of writing the story.
Yeah, it's sort of based loosely on their early days as a band.
Yes. The stuff that happens to these kids in the movie on their way to Los Angeles to, quote unquote, open for Green Day was inspired by Green Day's early days of touring in a van together before their breakout record, Dookie. So like pre-Dookie, these are the things that happened to Green Day. The movie was written and also directed by my husband, Lee Kirk.
And Jenna, Lee spent hours with Billy Joe and the band, right? Developing the stories and everything.
Yes, it started because Billy Joe called Lee and said, I would really like to do a Green Day movie. They had collaborated before. So yes, Lee interviewed the band and then he weaved their stories into the script. So I was talking to Trey Cool, the drummer of Green Day. I was just talking to him. It's not a big deal.
I know.
I talked to Mike.
I know, lady.
Whatever.
I know how much you're geeking out.
But I was talking to Trey and he called the movie historical fiction, which I thought was a really good description because it's not a biopic, but there's a lot of things in the movie that are from their lives. Like, for example, in the movie, the character of Fred, played by Kyler Kaufman, has this puppet that he takes on the road named mm-hmm. Gravy. Mm-hmm. And Gravy does all these bad puns and he like drives the other guys nuts. And in the early days, Mike had a puppet named Gravy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you are a super big Green Day fan, you're going to see an appearance by Sleepy. And that's all I'm going to say. Green Day fans will know who Sleepy is.
And then, of course, the movie is also just full of fantastic Green Day songs.
Yes. And Lee got to choose songs from the entire Green Day catalog. They said whatever song you want. The soundtrack for this movie is sick. That's what the kids say.
Are you being hip?
I learned that on the movie. They call it sick.
Okay.
But everyone, it is really such a fun movie. It's multi-generational. The young cast is incredible. I mentioned Mason, Kyler, and Ryan, but it also stars McKenna Grace, Ignacio Diaz, Silverio, and Keen Ruffalo. And then you've also got Fred Armisen, Sean Gunn, me, Angela, and our guest today, Bobby Lee, who plays Otis, the security guard.
What a lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, what a group. And listen, you guys, Bobby is so funny in the movie, and I really loved our interview with him. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. It has some twists and turns I was not expecting.
Same. I mean, we do some real sharing.
We do. And some real laughing.
Well, listen, before we get to our amazing interview with Bobby Lee, we do have a fan chit-chat question. This is from Brianna R. in St. Michael's, Maryland, who said, "Hello, office ladies. My husband and I are considering quitting our day jobs and opening our own business. I'm a little nervous about mixing my home life with my work life. Sometimes it's nice to have a separate space away from your significant other. And while I love my husband to pieces, I worry a little bit about us working together and being together all the time. And then also being mom and dad. Since you have both worked with your husbands professionally, I wondered if you would be willing to share a little about how that worked for you. P.S. And I loved this. I couldn't figure out how to upload an audio file, but I hope you will still pick this question. I hope you won't find it too personal to share. Love the podcast."
Oh, Brianna, I wouldn't know how to do the audio file either. So no worries there. This was such a thoughtful question.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's a big thing to just pivot in life and start your own business. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you have some day job and you're like, I'm going to do a different thing. But then also to take that on with your significant other.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be what you guys are doing. And I can relate, Angela, as I'm sure you can.
Yeah. I mean, we've both been in business with our husbands.
We have. I mean, it's how I met and fell in love with my husband was doing a film. And since then, we did Ashland Avenue, the mm-hmm. play, and now Nimrods. I love working with my husband. We work great together. It's wonderful. He's one of my favorite people to create with. I admire him and respect him as an artist, and he feels the same. And I think if you have that mutual respect with your partner, then I think you can be in business together.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think something that works well for Josh and I, which I also think works well with me and you, Jenna, is that we both have different things we're good at. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that. Because when Josh and I did all of the baking stuff and our YouTube baking show, he's just so great at baking and cooking and the recipes and curating them. And I'm sort of like color commentary, you mm-hmm. know? And the two of us each bring our own thing. And I so appreciate what he brought. And he was appreciative of what I brought. So it was easy to work together because of that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up us, Angela, because I thought of us going into business together as best friends when I saw Brianna's question. Because I would say that the one thing, and this is true when I'm doing a project with Lee, and it's true with our best friendship, is that the one pitfall to being in business with your significant other or best friend is where suddenly you forget to have the other conversations.
Yes, that is so true.
Because you're only talking about work.
Yeah, and you want to make sure you're still a couple and you still have that, all the things that make you a couple, you know, not a business partner.
Right.
And so when we were really in the middle of our cookbook and all of our conversations were about the cookbook, I remember us being like, both at the same time, like, we need to go away for the weekend. We need to just go stay at a little bed and breakfast and go for a hike and go on a date night and just not talk work, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because that's what feeds the partnership, is everything you do outside of the business is what makes you want to do the business together. Does that make sense?
Yes, because we do that as best friends. And you're really good at that, Angela. You'll say, I want to have a conversation and we are not allowed to talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. Best friend stories only.
Yeah.
Domestic life stories only.
You said it to me just this morning, because we trade messages every day. You guys know that, right? We leave each other voice notes. And especially when we're both busy running errands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love nothing more to see that I have a voice note from you. But you said this morning, because I had left you one, I was like,
you're like, is this boring? This is so stupid.
This is so boring. This is the lamest message. And you were like, Ange, I loved it. It was slice of life.
I love slice of life.
Yeah. It's important to keep that in the relationship, Brianna. So I guess that's our advice, is find out what strengths you each have. Respect those separate things, learn how to work with them, and mm-hmm. then also still make time for each other as husband and wife.
I think that's great advice. I mean, I don't know what it is you're planning to do, but if you do take that leap, I wish you all the success.
Yeah, just all the good things coming your way.
All right. Well, listen, why don't we take a break? And then we are going to be back with Bobby Lee.
At this stage in our life, lady, we have spent years taking care of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time, like, let's take care of me. We're pretty excited about this company that we're working with called Bowl & Branch.
They do like organic cotton sheets, plush pillows, blankets.
I got the waffle bed blanket because in the summer, I want a little blanket, but I don't want to be hot.
Yeah.
And this original waffle, it's woven to feel plush and springy, but it is 100% organic cotton. So it's super breathable.
All of their stuff is breathable, incredibly soft, and built to last.
We highly recommend them. Upgrade your sleep with Bowl & Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bowlandbranch.com/officeladies with code officeladies.
That's Bowl & Branch, bowlandbranch.com/officeladies, code officeladies to unlock 15% off. Exclusions apply. Hello, Office Ladies family. We've got a quick recommendation today that we think you are going to love.
Yes, our friends over at How We Made Your Mother podcast just dropped an incredible episode with the one and only Bob Odenkirk.
Yes. And the behind the scenes stories that they share in this episode are insane. So first of all, did you know that How I Met Your Mother is accidentally responsible for the creation of a character on Breaking Bad?
No, that is crazy.
But it's not just TV trivia. Bob also gets really personal. He talks about parenthood. He talks about finding the right amount of fame and finding his lane as a dramatic actor, even though he started in comedy.
You guys, it is such a funny, insightful, and moving conversation. Head over to your favorite podcast app right now and search for the Bob Odenkirk episode on How We Made Your Mother. You don't want to miss it. This episode is sponsored by Vinted.
If you have been trying to declutter your space or make room for new outfits lately, you know how overwhelming a stuffed wardrobe can feel. So if you are experiencing the same thing, it might be time to try Vinted.
Here's what Vinted is. Vinted is a secondhand marketplace app that makes it easy for everyday sellers to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money.
You list your clothes in minutes right from your phone, and once an item sells, Vinted automatically creates a prepaid shipping label for you. So it makes sending it out completely hassle-free.
And there are no seller fees. So every bit of profit from your sale goes straight to you instead of getting eaten up by extra charges.
Decluttering your closet has never felt this satisfying, and it will completely change how you look at the value of your wardrobe.
See what's hiding in your closet. You might be surprised how much you can earn with Vinted.
Download the Vinted app for free to start listing with no seller fees, and for a limited time, enjoy free shipping in the U.S.
We already started, right?
Yeah,
You're recording?
We're in.
Yeah,
we're recording.
In. Can I do my own self-intro or do you want to do
it? Yeah, you want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a comedian, sometimes actor, and I'm Bobby Lee.
Hi, Bobby.
Bobby Lee.
Yeah, yeah. And how we know each other is we did a sitcom together.
Splitting Up Together.
And I want to apologize. I don't know if I ever apologized to you for not showing up that morning.
Which morning did you not show up?
Remember that one morning that I slept in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I do now.
Yeah. So I woke up, Angela.
Yeah. Can I ask what your call time was?
Like 6 in the morning.
Okay. So you had an early call time.
So it's now 10:30.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And I'm in my house.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
I remember. Did someone come knock
they
on your door?
Entered my room, my
someone
house.
Came into your house.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And then I felt somebody like roaming around the living room.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's creepy. Yeah. And I come out and I realize as soon as I see the person that, what time is it? And the panic of it.
Oh, no.
Who did they send?
Like a PA or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a PA or something. I remember who they sent.
Yeah.
I remember the conversation on set.
Yeah.
It was like,
so they shot your coverage first.
Was it a scene with me?
Yeah, it was you. You were waiting. Oh, you were doing all your coverage.
I was.
Yeah. And I came in with my pajamas.
Oh.
And was freaking out.
Oh.
I was freaking out.
That kind of panic is just right to your core.
Has that ever happened to you?
I mean, I've woken up late. Actually, the time it happened to me, stakes were a little bit lower because it was when I was an operator at 1-800-DENTIST. And I had that 6 a.m. shift and I overslept.
Yeah. Wait, how old were you?
In my 20s, like around probably 26. And the guy called me who was managing the call center. And I woke up out of this dead sleep and my home phone rang and I was like, hello? And he was like, Angela, you are 2 hours late for your shift. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back to sleep.
You went
so you
back
never,
to sleep?
You got fired.
No, you would think. I did not get fired. I was like, okay, I'm coming.
What's an operator?
An operator at 1-800-DENTIST?
Yeah, I call.
Okay,
ring,
call.
Ring.
1-800-DENTIST, this is Angela. Do you need a checkup and cleaning today or do you have a specific dental problem?
Yeah, all my teeth hurt.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to get you in to see someone that can help you with that.
Oh, so that's what you do.
Do you have a PPO or an HMO?
We're keep going. We're going to keep going? Yeah. Cash. I'm going to pay cash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pay cash.
Okay, well, there's several dentists who will take you if you're paying cash. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I overslept, and then he told me you overslept, and then I was like, yes, I did.
Yeah.
And then I did get up and go in, but I was like, I'm just asleep, just a little bit more.
Yeah, you need that extra. Yeah, go ahead.
What happened when you got to set? What I remember is us going from being like kind of like annoyed, like, oh, he's late. But you were not late. You weren't a late person. You generally were very punctual and you knew your shit.
Yes.
Right. So
you were very punctual today.
Yeah, I'm punctual.
You were 10 minutes early.
I'm a punctual person.
This is what I mean.
Yeah.
So like we're on set. And it's like, by 6:30, we actually are worried. Like, we've moved.
Yeah, and now it's 10:30.
Like, yeah,
and we're like, I
could have died.
We were concerned.
Yeah.
And so there was like this great relief when the PA was like, he's okay. He's coming. He just overslept. We were like, oh.
Yeah.
We were like worried
for
you.
But what was scary is at the end of the night.
What happened? What?
The showrunner came up to me.
Oh, did you get a talking to?
And she walked this way and I was sitting down.
Yeah.
And she put her hand on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And she goes, don't ever do that again.
Oh my gosh. Mm.
And I was scared.
I would have been scared.
Were you scared?
I would have been scared.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something else from Splitting Up Together.
Okay, go ahead.
You talked about this time you were late.
Okay.
Should we talk about
Wait.
Should we? discuss.
What? No, because I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think I know what you're getting at.
You've talked about it on your podcast.
Yeah, it's fine.
So now you're here.
Okay, what you're saying, may I say it or no?
Yes, you already have talked about it, and I just wanted to know.
Yeah, but not in front of you.
With me.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to talk about it with you.
Too late. She's been tagged in all the reels.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know, I don't know if people know about shooting things, but there's coverage. Is that what you're talking about?
Like on
a phone set. I'm talking about the phone incident.
Yeah, so it's on you, the camera, right?
So
and I'm doing lines with, yeah, go ahead, Angela.
So let's set it up. We're on the set of ABC Splitting Up Together.
I'll set the scene for you. It's like the Christmas episode. If I remember correctly, we're like dressed in like Christmas onesies. Mm-hmm. It's a big group scene. Everyone's in it. Like all the kids are in it. You're in it. Oliver's in it. Lindsay, Diane, everybody's in this, right? Am I remembering the right scene?
Yes.
And it's in the living room. There's a Christmas tree.
Yes.
And I have to stand up in front of the tree and face all of you guys and give this like kind of like emotional
And you did a great
speech.
Job.
Like I had to well up with tears a little bit, yeah. But then hold them back. It was like a whole thing, right?
Yep.
So there's one camera. We do your coverage where the camera's on all of y'all getting your lines.
Yes.
And I'm off camera and I'm giving my speech.
Yes. Very good job.
Great. Camera comes around. Now it's shooting me.
Yes.
And you guys are all off camera.
Sure.
But you're still there because you have lines that you have to say to me while I'm giving my
emotional
speech.
Which I memorized.
You were memorized. You were, and on time.
Yeah. Do I have to lock eyes with you?
What do you think?
No.
You don't what?
No, I don't think.
What?
I don't think.
So here,
because you're a professional actor.
Oh.
No, just stop. I'm sorry for even saying that. This is your podcast. You can keep going if you want.
Well, I'm just going to say, I want to paint a picture for people. So time for my coverage, and I'm going through the scene, take one. I'm up there. I'm like scanning the room. Everyone's looking at me.
Sure.
Everyone across the children, all yeah. the people, they're all looking me in the eyes, giving me my lines that they have to say. And then I get to you, Bobby.
Yes.
And you are looking down, like kind of
playing Candy Crush
into your lap. But yeah. I don't know that. You're looking down and I'm like, that's odd.
No, it's not. I'm at 896 level and I want to get 897.
Take two.
Okay.
Scans again. I get to you. Now I can see you're looking at a phone. And my first thought was, oh, gosh.
He doesn't know his lines.
No. I thought, oh, my gosh, I hope everything's okay. I hope
Wait. I'm
like
sorry.
A text.
Okay. Can I defend myself?
Like a text. Like, oh, no, okay. You must have gotten a text.
Angela, may I?
That's like super important.
Okay.
Because why else would you be on your phone in the middle of a taping?
Okay. It's a group shot.
Yeah.
It's a wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they're punching in, but I don't know. But from what I remember, it's a wide. So why would you let me focus on Oliver?
You have to talk to me. I am looking. And so it's very distracting because I'm like, what's happening with, is Bobby okay? Has someone contacted him?
But you were
what's
mad.
What's happening?
I remember you being mad.
Well, yes, by take
Angela,
four or
back
five, when I realized what I thought is that you were on Instagram.
Angela.
I thought you were scrolling Instagram. And so finally I go, Bobby.
Yeah.
What the actual
I apologize.
Fuck, dude?
That was
what
bad.
Is happening?
That was bad.
What is happening?
Angela, back me up.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can.
You can.
Here's the thing.
Like, you know what sucks? And that sucks.
You're a scene partner, right? So it's like what I give you give me back.
So if you and I were doing a scene solo,
yeah,
you would get my attention.
Yeah.
Right? But in a group shot? Yes, it does. In a group shot? Come on.
Well, I think you have to know, too, we did 9 years of group scenes, 9 years of conference rooms, 9 years of Steve Carell being up in front of everyone and us just looking at him.
So Steve would do, even in his reverse,
yes.
give you 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't see. I'm learning.
Yeah, yeah. There is a learning
curve. I mean, this.
But there
you
is
know,
a learning curve.
There's so much to learn.
There is a learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was trying to defend myself. I apologize. I still, the reason why I brought it up on my pod is because I remember the shame of it.
Oh, well, you should release yourself of that.
Yeah,
I mean, you
yeah.
were forgiven moments after it happened.
Yeah, I wish that Angela took my side every once in a while. Yeah. Anyway, it's comedy. Let's talk about comedy. Let's talk about, you want to talk about the movie?
Let's talk about Nimrods.
Okay.
Let's talk about Nimrods.
Let's talk about Nimrod.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say one thing.
You're both great in it.
Oh, well, you're hilarious in it, but Jenna told me,
oh
like
God.
From the early days, like when we did a table read of it, she was like, Lee was like, I want Bobby. And you're like, Bobby's got to be in this. Like, that's how much of an impression you made on her in Splitting Up Together and Lee.
No, truly. It's true.
It's true. I'm giving you a real compliment.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Playing Candy Crush?
No.
Angela?
You are forgiven for that.
Okay.
That is behind you.
All right, now it is.
Yes, but yeah. Now we also...
I've been thinking about it since.
Clearly, I wasn't holding anything against you because...
Yeah, but I didn't want to bring it up on set.
I mean...
Yeah. Hey, I want to apologize for...
No, you know what you should have done is you should have got out Candy Crush. In one take.
Yeah.
That would have been so good.
We didn't have... Did we have a scene?
No, we didn't have any scenes together. Yeah, no. We're all three in this movie, but yeah, not in any scenes together. Yeah.
I know.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the movie up until I came up on screen.
Oh.
And then do you not like to watch yourself?
I don't. So
oh,
I stopped
Bobby,
watching.
You're so funny in it.
I stopped.
Bobby, you have you're a so line funny. In this movie that my kids...
What is the line?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. When you mock him.
All right.
You mock one of the kids.
Puberty is hard.
Yeah.
Puberty is hard. Did you improvise that?
Yeah.
He did.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you improvise. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Because he had such a squeaky voice.
He did.
I want to say something about the movie. It feels lived in and real.
Oh, that's a nice compliment. I agree.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Like when you watch like old Spielberg movies, he's good at like E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Do you?
I do.
Did you see the movie?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it about, Angela?
55.
What's
it
about, Angela? What's it about, Angela?
Oh, my God. First of all, it's Richard Dreyfuss. Like, phenomenal
okay, that's enough.
Performance.
Okay. That's enough.
All right.
That's great. I believe
okay.
you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, early Spielberg, the houses lived in. And if it's not lived in, I can't buy into it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel real. You know, sometimes you watch a... sitcom or and everything's so clean
squeaky
and you can tell it's on a stage and I don't like it, you know. I like it when it's like lived in is what I'm saying.
The production designer on Nimrods, Adam Reamer, was a genius.
Yes,
like the home, the garage, all the sets.
I've never seen you in a role like this before as a mom. It's crazy.
Oh, well,
you were a mom on Split.
Except for that sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
We're on a sitcom together.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's a different kind of role. And I mean, I could get personal.
Oh my God.
About
get personal.
It. Should I?
Yes.
So I shot this movie 2 weeks after I had my port removed, after having gone through all my cancer treatment. I had my last infusion and I'd been kind of like living in my house for like a year. You know, because I was a little bit on my own personal lockdown where my life was just about the treatments. And I had my last immunotherapy infusion early in 2025. And then I got my port removed. And 2 weeks later, I was on set shooting this movie. And from that experience, I had a kind of heaviness in me because a lot had happened to me in that year. I had a literal heaviness. I gained 15 pounds during chemo. And during all my treatment. And my hair had just started to grow back. Like I had just enough for this movie. That's my real hair. People have asked if it was a wig, but I had just enough hair. They kind of like brushed it forward. They were brilliant. And it was such a gift to me to take that and put it into this part of this mom who also has a real heaviness to her. She's a widow. She's raising two teen boys on her own. And she's a little bit at the end of her rope, but trying to be kind of optimistic at the same time. I mean, I love this woman. And I don't think this is a part that I would have been offered or asked to play had I not gone through everything I went through. Because I didn't have it in me. I didn't have it in my body. I didn't have it in my toolkit. Like, I just didn't have it. And so for me, this movie is really, really special because I got to take something hard that happened to me and I got to put it into art, which is kind of just the best thing ever. And it was really healing for me. So thank you for saying that. It really means a lot.
I'm sorry.
Aw.
I remember you telling me on set, and it was devastating.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But you're—
I'm in full remission.
Yes.
Yeah. And now it's like, it's good. God, it's weird to say it was a good thing that happened to me, but— It was definitely one of those moments in life. It was a before and after, you know, there was my life before and now there's my life after. And my life after, it's been transformative.
I can't. Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like you must have had before and after with getting sober.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very before after.
I think it's
after.
Different though. I don't think I was as scared as you might have been. You know, I always thought, you know, I can always get sober or whatever. I mean, that's all I needed to do is to get sober, mm-hmm. right? But you have no control over what you had, you know? So it must be just terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, truly, it's really hard to watch someone you love go through something and you don't know how to help them.
Yeah.
And so, and anything you do to try to help doesn't feel like enough, you know? Mm. And so you just try to show up, you know?
Yeah.
And so even as you were saying all that, it was so great to watch this movie and have seen you through that and on the other side and getting to create. And I love the character and I love the movie that Lee made. It's really great. I'm excited for people to see it.
Well, lady, you took me to get my port removed because Lee had started shooting the movie. Yeah. It was a weird thing for us, too, because he'd been with me the whole journey. And now his movie gets greenlit in like the last 2 months of my treatment. And he had to be away. And so Angela took me to get my port removed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was amazing because she's the best BFF
family.
Ever.
Yeah, we're family.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So you take care of each other.
I don't think I have anyone like that in my life. Maybe my girlfriend.
Yeah, sure, your girlfriend.
Yeah, maybe my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend. She would take you to LAX, right?
I don't think so, but I think that she would for port. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Santino, I don't know. Andrew Santino, I don't know.
I'm not sure Lee would drive me to LAX. He'll see me through cancer treatment, and I'm not sure he's dropping me at LAX or picking me up.
For people listening, LAX is the worst airport to try
to drop. It's the worst. Burbank, yes.
Burbank?
For sure.
He's taking me to Burbank.
Burbank is fine.
All the time.
Yeah.
I would take you to the Long Beach airport. I would do that.
Yes.
But LAX, man. Wait, back to Nimrods.
Yes, of course.
Will you tell us how you got the role?
I got a call from my agent. They said you were offered this part. And I said, yes, immediately.
There you go.
Because I knew Billy from a long time ago during my Mad TV days.
Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, producer of this movie.
Yeah. And I used to hang out with him. I run into him, hang out with him. You know, back then, LA was different. Like, I remember going to Baja Fresh and then running into the Strokes. You know what I mean? You just run into people.
That's so cool.
Yeah. What was your first neighborhood in LA?
It was North Hollywood, then Silver Lake, then West Hollywood, then Hollywood, and now Studio City. Yeah. So I've been around.
Where were you in West Hollywood?
I lived above the Comedy Store. Polly owned it.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was terrible.
I mean,
it was a human nightmare.
That seems really difficult.
I would come home and he'd be on my bed sleeping.
Oh, my gosh.
Polly, sure.
Yeah.
Dude, I own the house, brah. Right? I could sleep wherever I want to sleep. I go, I pay rent. Dude. Yeah, I pay rent. But anyway, so I moved out of there because the house is falling off a cliff, they said.
The Comedy Store? The house?
No. So the house above the Comedy Store, the inspector came in and goes, you could die in here. And then I remember a bunch of comics were like, just buy a house. You can buy a house. So I bought my first house.
Nice.
After that, yeah. Which is freeing in many ways. It feels grown up.
Yeah. It's a
and back then, you could afford it. Now you can't.
No.
Yeah, now you can't. But yeah, now it's crazy.
Okay, wait. There's one thing I have to tell you. I really want to come see your stage show.
No.
And then,
what do you mean stage show? Stand up?
Yes.
Dude, yeah, it's just stand up.
No.
I have a special coming out on Hulu in November.
Okay.
It's my first hour special.
I know. It's your first hour special. That's amazing.
For what company?
Hulu.
Okay, good.
I was listening.
Okay.
But my sons love you. And they were so tickled that I was meeting you today. They just can't believe that you're in the podcast.
Where are they? Are they here?
No, they're at home.
Okay.
But
my nephew.
You're a big deal.
You met my nephew on the set of Nimrod.
Yes.
He flew out because he wanted to see a couple days of filming. It's because of you.
Was I nice to him?
Yes, very.
Because I'm a nice person.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Exactly. Okay. He was so excited to meet you, and that was so nice
of you. Stage show?
I sometimes get phrases wrong, just a little bit.
I want to brag on you. I want to talk about what a nice person you are. I hope this won't be embarrassing to you. I don't think it would be. Okay, so there's a young guy in this movie, Ryan Faust.
Love him.
He plays the drummer in the young punk band.
Yeah, I understand.
He's so great. I'm letting other people know.
Uh-oh.
This guy, first of all, he's just so good in the movie. He's so funny.
He's so good in the movie.
So good. He's so good. And he had to learn to play the drums because he's really playing.
I think they all had to learn, right?
Yes. Well, Kyler Kaufman already knew how to play guitar, but yes, Mason Thames had to learn to play guitar, and then Ryan had to learn drums, and he was really dedicated.
Yeah, because he's a student of acting.
Yeah.
He wants to immerse himself into the role and not look fake. And that's what I love about Ryan, is that he's brave and he commits. And I know what the compliment is.
You do.
And I don't think it's a compliment. And I don't think it's me being a nice guy. It's just that I like bravery.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan said to me on set, I want to try stand-up. Is that what you're going to get?
Yeah, you said you write a set, let's set a date, and I'll let you open for me.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's f***ing cool.
And he did it a bunch of times.
I know.
Yeah, and he was very good.
And that kind of like mentorship, like that is so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, I've done that a lot. But it's like, I just love people that are brave and that walk through fear, and I'm willing to hold someone's hand. Mm-hmm. To do that, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, I'm not one of those guys that are like completely jealous or I want people to make it.
That's a beautiful thing.
Because in order to achieve success, you have to help people achieve the success, I believe.
And mm-hmm. people probably helped you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. I think the Shore family was very vital. You know, Paulie's mom owned the Comedy Store and she saw me the open mic, and then she saw me open for her son, and she made me a paid regular, and I moved to LA. This is in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so they really helped, and a lot of comics helped, you know, and Dice Clay helped in a weird way, you know. People really kind of pulled me up on my sleeves. Is that the term, or?
I don't know. But people took a chance on you.
Yeah.
Right?
People helped you, no?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, this is, I love that about our industry when you find those other people who are like that. I believe there's enough room for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you've got a talent, we've got room for you.
Yes, I do believe that too. And it's like, I'll tell you something. I was plagued by jealousy early on in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a moment where I was like, what about me? And then, you know, about a year of that, I was like, this is not who I am. And it's painful.
Yeah.
To live in that. Yeah. You know, I have to admit that, you know, but yeah, I'm completely different now.
Yeah. Abundant universe. You kind of come to that. And I think as you get older.
I think that to survive, you know, in this biz. And also, can I just say this too? You're adapting to the transitions of show business. Like for me, it's like I saw the writing on the wall a little bit. I was like, I had to create my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And so you created this thing. It's your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like you're adapting because it's like I think that obviously it's transitioning into something else. We don't know really what it is with the emergence of AI and other things, but it's like we're adapting to what it is. So it's like for you to survive this long is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and you're survivors.
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah. You have to be able to adapt, right?
Yeah.
So what do you want to do next?
I'm going to retire in 3 years.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Retire from what?
Everything.
From podcasting, comedy, and acting?
Yeah, everything.
You're just going to peace out. Where are you going?
I want to go to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And just buy a little place.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And just retire and farm.
Yes.
But I'm never going to do it, am I?
Why not?
Because I say it, but I don't think I will.
This is a beautiful idea.
Don't you feel compelled to be artistic and creative, though? Like, where will you take that energy in the Hawaii farming chapter?
Okay, so here's what I'll do. This is my plan, okay?
Okay.
I'll still do my own solo podcast in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
but more ranting and raving about things.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll still do local stand-up in Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think that'll fill, you know, but
don't
it's like
your box.
Yeah, but I think that I've been chasing this since I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And it never seems like I made it.
You made it.
I know, but it doesn't feel like it. I know.
Okay, I want to unpack this. What do you expect making it would feel like?
Well, can I be honest with you?
Yeah. Of course.
This is the first movie, Nimrods, where I was in the opening credits.
Yeah.
So thank you for that mm-hmm. experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've done a lot of movies before, but I was always in the end credits. And 52 names would come down. And they would say, Bobby Lee, Ken Park, but like no one's watching. My point is that I've been in this business for so long. I've been on sitcoms and series regular, so God bless America. But my point is this, is that this is the first movie where I was in the opening credits.
You're on the movie poster too.
I know. My point though being that I'm grateful for what I've had, but it's like this chasing thing I think I'm done with.
Well, that's a real thing to listen to. I'm with you. I feel tired of just
chasing.
I don't want to be a hamster on the wheel. I've been telling Jenna that. And I'm happy. And I think everything I've done is enough for me. Really.
Happiness is a worm. Yes, it is. Gun. I don't know why I did this. I'm sorry.
I feel like life insurance is a thing that you know is good to have, but maybe you don't get around to it because it's a thing you're putting off.
Yeah.
Because it brings up questions. It makes you have to think about stuff that maybe you don't want to think about.
I know, but it's important to do. These are the things you have to do as an adult. This is adulting.
This is adulting. It's true.
And here's the thing. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. With Ethos, you can get a quote in seconds, you apply in minutes, and you can get same-day coverage.
There's also no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage. And some policies are as low as $30 a month.
Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/officeladies.
That is ethos.com/officeladies.
Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You guys have heard us talk about BetterHelp for a long time now. And today we want to look at what actual clients are saying about their experiences.
You can head over to betterhelp.com/reviews right now, and you can check out the daily updated feedback from real people sharing their growth.
The platform actually boasts an impressive average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars, and that is across more than 1.7 million client session reviews.
And when you sign up, you are paired with professionals who hold at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, fully backed by the required education, training, and certifications in multiple specialties.
BetterHelp streamlines the entire setup process, and you can easily switch therapists if you ever need a change.
See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit betterhelp.com/officeladies.
That's betterhelp.com/officeladies.
Imagine you're sitting down to a great lunch when your phone buzzes with an alert that a window has been broken into in the back of your home.
Oh no.
Kind of a jarring wake-up call, right? ADT security systems are built for those exact moments. They keep homes safer with 24/7 monitoring because nobody wants to feel vulnerable when they're out. And with ADT, that worry disappears.
ADT also has trained technicians professionally that come and install everything. So they're ensuring that the system works perfectly from day one. And ADT also operates the most monitoring centers in the industry and has a handy ADT Plus app.
Yeah, makes it easy to check in on your property from anywhere with cell service.
The system delivers the safety alerts that actually matter, allowing homeowners to stop worrying and enjoy their time away. Don't wait for an emergency to protect the home. When every second counts, count on ADT.
Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Can you tell us more about Mad TV? What was that like?
But you understand, when I was on Mad TV, I'd never taken an acting class. I've never been on TV. I didn't know what a jib camera was or a mark was or any of that.
Yeah.
So you're learning how to do TV. I was an open micer, like doing little rooms and like empty rooms. No one knew who I was. And then all of a sudden, you know, I auditioned. It was a cattle call pretty much. And then it came down to me and Taron Killam.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And they hired both of us. He was on Mad TV before he was on SNL.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm on a show and I don't know how to do it. Like, I just didn't know how to do it. And
how old were you?
I was 30.
30, yeah.
Yeah, I was 30 when I booked The Office.
Yeah. And I was like, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. You know, I did some commercials, but it's like, those are different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes when you're a commercial, it's like you'll see somebody running by you. You just do a facial expression. Those I can do. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's like, you know, anything with like substantial lines, mm-hmm. you know, it would be nerve wracking for me. Because back then also there was no teleprompter.
Yeah.
So if I would play Connie Chung and I had to do a monologue, it was literally
learn the whole thing.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And you're looking in the camera and you're like, you have to memorize a page worth of things. And I remember one time one of the producers came up to me and she held my hands and she said, just breathe. Goes in front of a live audience too. I don't know. I never did, you know, in high school, I maybe did some plays, but you know, mm-hmm. I was in The Sound of Music. I played Kirk, whatever, or Kurt, whatever his name is, but I played Huckleberry Finn. Mm. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I just.
Can I just say something?
I wish I could go back and see you in these productions.
So when Fraulein Maria calls us for the first thing coming down the stairs, I was in high school and I was the only Korean kid in the cast. And every time the audience would see me, the audience would laugh.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Well, it's because, and then I asked the director of, you know, you're in high school, you're like, can we change the lines? They go, what do you mean? I go, just to justify why I'm there.
So like you're
like, I'm Kirk, I'm adopted or
so
something.
Long, yeah. You're like, so long, farewell, and be to say goodnight.
Yeah.
I'm Kirk, I'm adopted.
Yeah, something like that, right? It's like even playing Huckleberry Finn, it's like, we have to justify why I'm Korean in the South in this time period.
Yeah, that's where things have changed, I feel like.
Yeah.
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 For our kids.
I couldn't even believe I even got those roles. You know, they're like, anyway, so I was scared, but I'm fine now. Yeah. Can I tell you what they did to me at Matt TV?
What?
They made a compilation of my bad table reads.
Do you do bad table reads?
I do.
You're not good at a table read?
I hate them.
Table reads are intimidating, though. They are.
I think you kill it.
No, I don't.
She does.
She does.
She'll get like a guest spot on a show.
Yeah.
And she'll do the table read. And then they'll give her more lines the next day because she crushed the table read.
Wow.
That's Angela Kinsey.
Wow.
She's always, no, it's true, lady. They're always like expanding. You're like, oh, we wrote you another whole scene.
They take scenes away from me.
Crushed the table read.
Yeah.
This is the truth.
I've literally had people go, we're not doing that scene. And you go, oh, why? But I know why. Because I fucked up the scene before. It's hard when you're guest starring.
It is, because people
have been working together for maybe sometimes years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like a new person. And sometimes they're not even that nice to you.
Here's the thing. I'm okay at a table read, but I'm horrible at the chit-chat small talk once we're on set.
When you're a guest star?
Yeah. Because I assume like if someone's like, oh, how are you? How was your day? Jenna knows. I'll just say, well, here's the thing. I think a rat is eating the inside of my car. You know,
this is true.
But I will tell this person who's just like an AD who just is wanting to like walk right past me.
But it's a funny thing to say.
But it's just what's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like sometimes,
And so then
those are inside thoughts.
Yes. I watch the person's eyes glaze over of like, oh my God.
I told Sarah Jessica Parker I had foot fungi.
Did you really?
You were sitting there in, she was doing crosswords or something. As they do.
Oh, yes. You were so good on that show.
No, I wasn't.
And Just Like That.
I don't think I was, but thank you.
Stop it.
But yeah, I remember like doing that. Like
making conversation.
Yeah, but it was like I'm around a lot of comedians, you know, and she was super nice. I love her.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But I didn't know what to bring up.
Can I tell you my super cringe story?
Tell me.
Being a co-star. Not even a guest star. Not a recurring.
What's the difference?
You were recurring on And Just Like That. You were in several episodes, but not every episode.
Yeah.
You're in many episodes, though. Yeah. That's recurring. That's great. You're like kind of part of the cast.
What's guest starring?
Guest star is when have like—
One episode.
One week.
Mm. You probably have multiple scenes. You have a significant, like some part of the story involves you. And then co-star is usually also referred to as like five and under. You have five or less lines— Okay, but I had a co-star role on a comedy. I had five or less lines, and it was on—
Post-Office.
Pre-Office.
Oh, well, then that's—
It was Spin City, the Charlie Sheen years. So I'm in this scene. So it's Charlie Sheen, Heather Locklear, Scott Wolf, and Vanessa Marcel. So all of these people are like household names, and I am hired to play their waitress. But I'm new. This is my first speaking role on a television show.
You were nervous.
I was in hair and makeup with Heather Locklear. She was so nice to me. And then we get on set and we rehearse, but now we're waiting for notes. And the four of them start talking. And oh my God, they're talking about like all these tabloid stories and they know if something's true or not true.
They're gossiping.
They're gossiping.
And you're listening in.
I'm listening, but I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Like, am I part of this group or am I
not
part of this group?
You're not.
And I didn't. Yeah. And so I, before I knew, because she was so nice to me in the trailer.
Heather Locklear.
I think I'm part of the group.
You think you're a pal.
What are the signs that you're a part of the group? Because she was nice to you?
Because she was nice to me in hair and makeup.
Yeah.
And we're standing there and
When you say nice, she said hello.
She also asked if I wanted some cheese.
Oh, that's good. Really nice.
She's like, I want
BFF.
BFF.
Okay.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Someone came in and said, does anybody want a snack? She's like, oh my God, could we get like some cheese and crackers and stuff? She's like, do you want some cheese and crackers if you share them?
What a sweetheart.
Right? And yeah. I'm like, I'll take cheese and crackers. Yeah. Sure. No. So anyway, I can't move. I'm not allowed to leave the set. I have to stand next to the table while we're waiting for our notes. And they're talking and I think I'm in the conversation. And so I chime in.
Oh no. Instinctually, no.
Do you feel it?
I feel it right now. No.
Bobby, you know how you're still carrying around the phone incident from splitting up together? I carry around my chime in.
Oh, yeah.
On Spin City.
Wow.
I still, in my body.
Can you tell me what the reaction was? Like, do you remember?
Crickets. It was crickets. It was silence. It was silence.
Yeah.
And then Heather Locklear broke the silence with like a completely kind, like, gesture, like a kind of like, you know, like.
But imagine them. Imagine them when you got the office.
And then they
look back and they went, you know what? Hey, we should have been nicer to her.
No, they were. It's not that they
we should have laughed.
It's not that they were unkind.
What'd you say?
I don't remember. I just chimed in on the conversation and I realized it was just a record scratch. But then the very next year, I booked a pilot opposite Scott Wolf.
Wow.
Yeah. Tell him the name of the pilot. This is amazing.
Rubbing Charlie. That's a real title.
That's true.
Who bounced that around?
Is Scott Wolf
room?
Charlie?
Yeah, I rubbed him.
Really?
I was a masseuse.
Wow.
And it was like he
Times
was a
different.
Successful doctor.
Yeah.
And he would come to see me as his masseuse.
Mm. What is this show?
What is that show?
And I was kind of like therapy for him, but I was the female lead. I did not remind Scott Wolf that I had been on Spin City.
Why?
With him because I wanted him to just forget.
But you know why you shouldn't bring it? I think your instinct is right because, and I'm going to say this, is that you perceived it that way.
Oh, you just got deep, Bobby.
Mm.
Because we perceive things like personally and we ruminate about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might not even be true to them.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So I do that a lot. Like I'll bring it up, something up, and I'll go, I was so embarrassed. And they're like, we don't even remember that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And then you kind of go, oh, it's in my mind.
Yeah.
And you lay in bed and you think about
it.
And
you replay it.
Replay it over and over again. But it's like, you know, I'm sure none of them even remember you being in the show.
That's what I mean. Like, he didn't see me on day one of our pilot and be like, oh my gosh, the waitress who said that weird thing. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything. Just like, until you reminded me, I did not remember about that time you didn't show up to set because you overslept. Like, I had...
Yeah, but I've been thinking about that every day since.
Yeah, and I...
But now you can let it go.
I'm going to let it go now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so that was a good podcast.
Thank you for coming on Office
Of course,
Ladies.
Dude. I want to say, watch Nimrods. It comes out, what's the date?
August 14th.
August 14th.
In theaters.
In theaters.
Bobby plays Otis. He's hilarious.
I play Otis. And then, you know, it's really good to be here. We could do this for 10 hours, I think.
We could.
We're a good team.
Don't you think? We could go on forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're good together.
I do too.
I do.
My gosh, Bobby is just so fun and so great to talk to. We talked about things I could never have anticipated.
Yeah, no, that's the great thing about Bobby is he's really, really funny, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're just going to have a fun time when you're with him. But he isn't afraid to get serious. Oh, but before we go, Sam, I want to share that you are also in Nimrods.
Yes, there's a big crowd scene at the end that I am in. If you have an eagle eye, you should be able to spot me, my friend Steve, and my friend Samantha.
You're at the New Year's Eve big concert.
Yes. I just wanted to say, I don't think we talked about that moment since then. I grew up in a real small town in Wisconsin. I still have a lot of friends and family back there. They often think my life is a lot more exciting than it is due to this podcast and my social media and stuff like that. That was one of those moments I remember leaving being like, I can feast on this for months. Like, this is why I left my small town in Wisconsin. Yeah, that was so cool. Thank you for having me.
I mean, it was really neat. And when you got there, everybody had to put their phones in like a little pouch. Nobody was allowed to have their phone, but I sneaked pictures of you and your friends.
That's right.
And
Sam, it's good to know the director's wife.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, this is the second cool thing. You invited me to the table read.
A long time ago.
At the Palladium.
Oh my gosh. This is my
second time being up close in front with Green Day, thanks to you.
And what a full circle moment that you were at the very first table read of this movie when it was in development.
Yeah.
And I read multiple characters. So did you, Jenna, because Lee just needed to hear it out loud.
Yes, yeah. But Green Day was there.
That's right. Billy just sat next to me. Also, did you mention earlier, this is the Sleepy?
Sleepy.
Copenhagen Sleepy?
Mm-hmm.
That is bananas.
Bananas.
That is a deep cut.
I hope I'm not going to get in trouble
for sharing that
Sleepy makes an appearance.
That is insane.
Do you need to ask and make sure?
I mean, a few people have mentioned it when they have written about the movie. So I think at this point, it's coming out on Friday.
Oh,
yeah.
That is a deep cut,
it's
by the way.
It's a deep cut.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so cool. Everybody go see the movie and let's all look for Sam. And wow, thank you, Bobby Lee, for joining us in the studio today.
He's wonderful. I love him so much. Everyone, please remember he has his comedy special coming out in November on Hulu. And be sure to check him out on his two podcasts, Bad Friends
and Tiger Belly. They're very funny. And you can find him on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check all three of us out in the movie Nimrods, coming out August 14th.
Everyone, it is a really, really fun movie to see in a group in the theaters. So
grab your pals. We'll be there. And we hope you enjoy it.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Office Ladies.
Office Ladies is a presentation of Odyssey and is produced by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Our senior producer is Matt Beagle, and our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer.
Odyssey's executive producer is Leah Reese Dennis.
Office Ladies was mixed and mastered by Bill Schultz.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton.